Word of mouth.
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 Word of
mouth.
This is Word of Mouth from New Hampshire Public Radio. I'm Virginia Prescott. And now for some background on that venerable literary magazine, Playboy. Hugh Hefner's magazine has always been about the centerfold and male fantasy and an airbrushed version of female sexuality. It was also a great read. Saul Bellow, Nabokov, Ursula Le Guin, Joyce Carol Oates were all repeat contributors to Playboy. In 2005, writer Amy Grace Lloyd was hired to revive Playboy's literary traditions of stories from the likes of Hunter S. Thompson or short fiction from Margaret Atwood, or that scandalous interview with presidential candidate Jimmy Carter. Amy was Playboy's fiction and literary editor for 7 years and recently wrote in Salon about some of the ribbing she took for a job that she really loved. Amy Grace Lloyd recently published her first novel. It's called The Affairs of Others, and she's joining us from Argo Studios in New York. Amy, thanks so much for joining us.
Oh, thank you for having me. It's such a pleasure to be here.
We'll talk a little bit more about Playboy's literary tradition. Was that part of its original mission, and when did that fade?
You know, it was. What's extraordinary is really starting very early, they had as many as 4 stories in the magazine, 4 fiction stories, which I think now is it would be a full-on act of subversion in a magazine. you'd have to wonder if the editorial director wasn't aiming to get fired. But Hefner was very serious about making sure that the magazine he was creating had everything that a man could want if he was going to a party or he was seducing a woman, that he could talk on a range of subjects, from politics to fiction, as well as consumer goods. He wanted it to be a destination for men where they felt edified as well as entertained.
There are a number of literary magazines and publishers that do not print stories along with explicit content. So why were you so eager to work for Playboy?
Well, I think it has a lot to do with what was going on in the publishing industry in about 2004, 2005, and prior to that even. I'd worked at The New Yorker with Bill Buford when he ran the fiction department, and Tina Brown was running the magazine at the time. And even then, there were fewer and fewer magazines publishing short stories. I was looking around a little bit just to see, you know, what might be next, what might be interesting. And really, just on an impulse, I wrote to the editorial director of Playboy and said, hey, you guys looking for a literary editor? You haven't forgotten all that you've done. And I certainly hadn't, because I'd been at Bowdoin, where I'd been a literature major, and I'd seen these amazing stories that they'd published, not merely in the 50s, but in the 60s, in the 70s, in the 80s. In fact, they had a wonderful interview with Betty Davis in the magazine. And these things thrilled me, that they were alongside these photographs, that there was that element of subversion. And I thought, how remarkable would it be if I could get a job there? What an adventure it would be. And I didn't hear from them, and I assumed, oh, I'm just too rarefied a bird for them, and I understood. But almost 2 years later, I get this call from this very alive, engaged man named Christopher Napolitano, who was the editorial director, and said, Amy, come on in for an interview. And he had a very similar notion to mine. In fact, he'd been thinking about this very thing for a long time and was waiting until the moment where he could create, again, a dedicated position. And we embarked on this mission together in 2005, and my first big assignment was on a tribute to Lolita, to Nabokov, because it was the 50th anniversary. And what a thrill that was.
Wow. I'm wondering what the culture was like, however, trying to imagine you transporting yourself from The New Yorker and The New Yorker Review of Books to working at Playboy. I mean, in journalism, right, we try to have this difference, the wall between editorial and development. I'm wondering about the wall between the literary department and the sex columns and the visuals.
Right. It's interesting because I always have super disappointing answers for people about all this, and I really want to tell them more about the carnival. And certainly there was some carnival there. There, naked women are all over the place, and that's true. But what was also true is that my colleagues were smart and engaged and well-read. Really, among the best editorial staffs that I've had the pleasure to work with. Sure, there was lots of jokes about sex and about all the things that had to be in the magazine, the centerfolds, Playboy Advisor, which could run from etiquette on dressing to etiquette in the bedroom, certainly. We did great coverage of consumer products, cars, radios, blenders, stereo systems, but maybe a sex toy or two as well. You had to be light on your toes. There had to be a sense of humor. And the interviews could be celebrities because our culture was trending toward that. And Playboy is not a not-for-profit. They had to answer to the desire for celebrity culture. But Richard Dawkins was in there as well during that time. Jeff Bezos. They still were serious about preserving the quality of the interviews. And unlike The New Yorker, where the ambition was palpable and the competition, and I love The New Yorker and I love my colleagues there at the time, and I was quite young when I was there, so I was a little overwhelmed. At Playboy, the atmosphere was lighter, was more experimental, was more adventuresome, and man, you really did have to have a sense of humor, not only about the day-to-day there, but also about the way people responded to you at dinner parties, on the street, should they find out where you worked, and also the people in the industry whose work you were trying to get into the magazine or whose writers work, whether they be an agent or a book publisher into the magazine, and you really had to be prepared.
Well, how did they respond, you know, when you called up and say, right. Hi, I'm looking to speak with, you know, X, I'm from Playboy.
I would laugh and I would joke. I was a fanatic for a time about it. I would get cross for a time. Ultimately, I came to a position where I would hear them. I would appreciate whatever response that they had. I would understand if they didn't want to work with us. But I would really, I had a wrap down about the people I'd published thus far, you know, during my time there. Sam Lipsight, wonderful, funny Sam Lipsight, Robert Stone, Nadine Gordimer. And I had a rap about the magazine's longstanding literary tradition. And unlike so many wonderful, more thoughtful magazines, Playboy has never stopped publishing literary work. While I was there, we really increased the number of pages devoted to literary work. We didn't decrease it. So that was part of my rap. Whatever I could use to make them not hear the bongo drums, whatever their perception, let's say we can think about this as music, you know, or the lurid sort of wah, 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 you know.
Yeah, I have it.
Porn music.
I imagine you know, sort of, it's like R-rated Mad Men when there's a party going on at Sterling Cooper. You know, you're at your desk and you know, there's lingerie being thrown around and men in smoking jackets, which is pretty outdated.
Well, there wasn't much lingerie. I have to say that all of that went to the L.A. offices where all the, you know, in Hollywood studios where all the photos were taken. In New York, it was just the editors. We did have a bunny or two who'd wander through. And I will admit, especially to all my New Hampshire brethren, because, you know, my family lives up in New Hampshire, that I wasn't so keen to be close to these women. But they were charming. And heaped on to them was so much expectation and luridness. If you're involved with Playboy, you're fetishized. And they were prepared to be. As the literary editor, I do not look like those women. I was fetishized as well, and I sort of would blame them for it. But meeting them, there is such vitality, there's such charm, there's such a sense of adventure, and of these women being really empowered, really in control of their destinies. So it isn't the magazine of a different time where it really was entirely about the male gaze. It's really about women choosing to be objectified. And I know I'm getting into dangerous territory now, but when I joined the magazine, I think the battle for women's rights had been won, and this idea of objectification has been flipped and turned and looked at in so many different ways that it's so loaded and so complicated that I think it's definitely not black and white. It really requires you to think, hold many opposing ideas in your head at once.
We're speaking with Amy Grace Lloyd. She's going to be reading and signing her new novel, The Affairs of Others, at River Run Bookstore tomorrow. We're talking right now about her time, 7 years she spent as editor at Playboy magazine. At the time she took the job, she set out to restore the magazine to its former literary glory. Well, how do you think you did?
I think we did well. I don't know if as many people noticed as we hoped. We did get nominated for a National Magazine Award for Fiction during that time, the first time in almost 2 decades. And I think more and more writers wanted to work with us. But right around the time I was leaving, because of realities within the magazine business, they had to cut back the pages. I guess I'd have to say I give myself a pretty good grade. I wish that people thought of Playboy as a literary magazine. I think that might be too tall an order. But as long as they're aware that it has that component, I'm pretty content.
Well, I'm wondering, though, you know, who is it for then? when you're publishing short fiction or literary works, you want as many people as possible to reach it. And I'm thinking about one of my first jobs in New York. I worked in a big loft apartment. You know, it was a creative job, and it was in this guy's house, and he always had Playboy in the bathroom. And, you know, sometimes I wanted to sort of pick it up and read it, but I always felt like, God, I wouldn't want to get caught reading Playboy. You know what I mean?
Right,
there was something ancient about that. Are women encouraged to pick up this magazine and read it?
Well, you'd be surprised. I think when I was there, 18% of the readership was women. I don't know what the percentages are now. A lot of women I would talk to say, oh, I want your job. And whether that was because they thought it would be an alluring, madcap place to work, or whether it was because of the work itself, it's hard to say. But I understand what you're saying. I was recently on a panel with Susan Choi and Sam Lipside about writing about sex. The novel I've written has a bit of sex in it. Susan's novel, My Education, has a good deal of sex scenes in it. And Sam writes about sex in all sorts of funny ways. And I took out these two Playboys that had Roberto Bolaño stories in them.
Huh.
And they're not
great
stories
writer.
About... Oh, a marvelous writer. Mm. One story called Joanna Silvestri about a porn star, although you'd be surprised about how little sex there's in the story. And another called Cellmates, I think both in his collection, The Return. But I brought them out so that I might read for them to see just how well he handled the sex in the stories, that you can write about sex in ways that edify you about the human condition, that are not merely there to titillate. And what was hard about that is Susan, when she saw me, Choi, bring the magazines out, she was a little bit shocked. I think American culture is so very conservative, and I understand women's problems with the magazine. So I think it's a very hard thing to ask of, I'd say, the majority of the population to see past the nudity, even though I think it is quaint at best.
Yeah, and, I mean,
yeah, Playboy was
genteel.
Going for something different. Yeah. It is very genteel, and I think that it might be the right choice to evoke this nostalgia, given the internet can give you, my God, I mean, what a feast. if you want things that are really extreme and really lurid, they are at your fingertips. So I think for me, that was always a little bit counterintuitive. I was at a dinner with Margaret Atwood, and some women were there, academics, and really took issue with my working at Playboy. And I was surprised, given our culture. Everyone is bearing everything all the time in one way or another. The sex tapes out there. Now, these women who were objecting were of a different generation. They were in their 50s, 60s. It is interesting, and I think it's hard to unpack simply. I said to Susan, I'm not shy. Susan Choi, when she saw me pull these magazines out at the panel, there's no room for me to be shy about this anymore. And for me, it's all been fairly tamed, given what you and I just brought up.
Amy Grace Lloyd, I want to thank you for your time today.
Oh, and thank you. It was such a pleasure.
Amy Grace Lloyd, she was fiction and literature editor at Playboy magazine for 7 years. She's now executive editor at Byliner Incorporated. Her new novel is called The Affairs of Others. She's going to be at a reading and signing of the novel at River Run Books in Portsmouth tomorrow. Don't go away. There's more word of mouth coming up after the break.